Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jai Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe. Jai Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Shtotar Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charanar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiret Nashta Praeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text chapter 33, text 5. Tvam Deha Tantraha Prashamaya Papmanam Nidesha Bhajam Cha Vibho Vibhutaye Yatha Avataraha Tava Sukar Adayaha Tatha ayam api आत्मपथ उपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च भूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। माताजी सीमन त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सूकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये। त्वं देहतन्त्रः प्रशमाय पाप्मनाम् निदेशभाजां च विभो विभूतये। यथावतारास्तव सुकरादयस् तथायमप्यात्मपथोपलब्धये त्वं यु देह दिस् बॉडी तन्त्रः हैव अज्यूम्ड प्रशमाय फॉर द डिमिन्यूशन पापमनाम ऑफ सिनफुल एक्टिविटीज निदेश भाजाम ऑफ इंस्ट्रक्शंस इन डिवोशन च एंड विभो ओ माय लॉर्ड विभूतये फॉर द एक्सपेंशन यथा एज अवताराह इनकार्नेशंस तव योर सुकर आदयः द बोर एंड अदर फॉर्म्स तथा सो अयम दिस इनकार्नेशन ऑफ कपिल अपि श्योरली आत्मपथ द पाथ ऑफ सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन उपलब्धये इन ऑर्डर टू रिवील ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट ऑल्सो बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन माय डियर लॉर्ड यू हैव अज्यूम्ड दिस बॉडी in order to diminish the sinful activities of the fallen and to enrich their knowledge in devotion and liberation. Since these sinful people are dependent on your direction, by your own will, you assume incarnations as a boar and as other forms. Similarly, you have appeared in order to distribute transcendental knowledge to your dependents. Purport. In the previous verses, the general transcendental qualifications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead were described. Now, the specific purpose of the Lord's appearance is also described. By his different energies, he bestows different kinds of bodies upon the living entities who are conditioned by their propensity to lord it over material nature. But in course of time, these living entities become so degraded that they need enlightenment. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that whenever there are discrepancies in the discharge of the real purpose of this material existence, the Lord appears as an incarnation. The Lord's form as Kapila directs the fallen souls and enriches them with knowledge and devotion so that they may go back to Godhead. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like those of the boar, the fish, the tortoise, and the half-man, half-lion. Lord Kapiladev is also one of the incarnations of Godhead. It is accepted herein that Lord Kapiladev appeared on the surface of the earth to give transcendental knowledge to the misguided conditioned souls. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्विताश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। लॉर्ड कपिलदेव हैज कंप्लीटेड हिज इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू हिज मदर Devahuti. Devahuti thereafter offers him further prayers, and as part of these prayers she has been talking about the various purposes of his descent in various forms in this material world. And in this verse specifically, Atma Patha Upalabdhaye, she refers to a very important purpose for the Lord's descent into this world, that is to establish the path of self-realization. In other words, to distribute transcendental knowledge. That is one of the most important reasons for the descent of the Lord in this world. As Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartham Ekah Purushah Puranah. He says that Shiksha Artham, for the sake of giving Shiksha or instructions or knowledge to the people in general, you have descended. You who are the Supreme Lord. And what kind of knowledge have you come to distribute? You have come to distribute knowledge of or instructions about vairagya, about renunciation, or about detachment from those things which are not connected to Krishna. You have come to give instructions about vidya, transcendental knowledge, and as well you have come to give instructions about bhakti yoga, about devotional service to yourself. So the Supreme Lord's very important purpose in coming here is to spread this transcendental knowledge. Sometimes he does it on his own. One of the purposes of the Yuga Avatar, in every Yuga there is a Yuga Avatar, and this is one of the important purposes of the Yuga Avatar, to establish transcendental knowledge or dharma for that age. Sometimes the Lord does it himself, and sometimes he empowers one of his great pure devotees in this material world for the same purpose. So these great devotees act as his representatives to deliver the fallen conditioned people of this world. Sometimes he may even send his associates from the spiritual world here for that purpose. And sometimes he may empower a living entity who from the conditioned state has attained the state of perfection
here within this material world. Today is the day on which, or the anniversary on which Srila Prabhupada first landed in America in 1965, September 17th, for the exact same purpose that this verse refers to. Srila Prabhupada went there to fulfill Lord Krishna's desire that was manifested through the desire of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to spread the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, to spread the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur specifically had instructed Srila Prabhupada at their very first meeting, when Srila Prabhupada was just a young householder, to go to the West and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language. Srila Prabhupada was initially surprised, taken aback by this instruction that was given to him at the very first meeting. It was a life's mission, but he never forgot it. He prepared for that one journey, that one eventful journey that would take him across the seas to America, where he would finally be able to fulfill the desires of his spiritual master. 40 long years of preparation. The Prabhupada Lilamrit refers to this first section as a lifetime in preparation. And truly it was. When Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Ultadanga Junction, he was in his mid-20s. And when Srila Prabhupada departed for America and reached America, he was 70 years old. So 40 to 45 years of preparation for this one journey, which he successfully completed on this tithi, on this day, not according to the Vaishnav calendar, because according to the Vaishnav calendar it was September 17th, but according to the Vaishnav or the Vedic calendar, according to the calculation of the tithi, it was on this day that he reached Boston Harbor for the sake of spreading transcendental knowledge. Atma patha upalabdhaye, for the sake of spreading knowledge of self-realization. And what an extraordinary story Srila Prabhupada's journey is. It is a story of fearlessness, of the indomitable courage of a transcendental adventurer. It's a story of sacrifice, of determination, of faith, of compassion, extreme compassion, a story of paradoxes and contradictions, a story of the highest welfare work being done in this modern world. It's an extraordinary tale for so many reasons, just this one journey. We must remember that there were 40 years of preparation for this one journey. Nowadays, going to America is a fairly easy thing. It just needs 24 hours to 36 hours to reach there. You just go to the airport and you're there in a fairly short time. But Srila Prabhupada's journey took 35 days. That's a fairly long time, and going through the seas, it wasn't an easy journey at all. When Srila Prabhupada went there, he was 70 years old. Actually, he spent his 70th birthday on the ship. There was no one there to celebrate with him. There was no Vyasa Puja. There was nothing. He was all alone with the crew of the ship and the vast waters of the sea. That's all there was. and Krishna, of course. So Srila Prabhupada, through this journey, has demonstrated extreme fearlessness and courage. What an adventure it was. We see nowadays it is common for young people to go for adventures, or even middle-aged people. Some people like to climb Mount Everest. Some people like to fly solo around the world in a small aircraft. Some people like to swim solo across the English Channel or the Pock Straits. Or they like to do so many such things for the thrill of it, because they like the spirit of adventure, of danger. But they are young people, or at most middle-aged people. They are living in an age when there is so much technology, such a support infrastructure for them. Even those who climb Mount Everest, they have others who carry the luggage for them. They don't carry it themselves. There is satellite communication. In case they are stuck, there are helicopters that can come and rescue them. So they have so much help. And they have age on their side. What did Prabhupada have? He had only about 40 rupees, which in those days were equivalent to about $7 or $8. That's all he had. He didn't know where he would go. He didn't know where he would eat his meals. He didn't know what kind of people he would be living with. He didn't know how his health would fare. At the age of 70, he was going there as a retired man. And in a cold country, he didn't know anybody. He had absolutely no fixed plan about how things would move, where he would move, which place he would go to, how his journey would take him within America. But he went. So what prompted him? What was the driving force for this one journey? Firstly, there was staunch faith in Lord Krishna. And in the process of Lord Krishna's devotional service, and in Krishna's protection. He was absolutely confident that because he was embarking on a mission that Lord Krishna had authorized, indeed it was Lord Krishna's mission, therefore he was assured of complete protection from Lord Krishna. The second thing that made him fearless and courageous was the faith in and the determination to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, an eternally liberated soul and a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha kurunandana bahu shakhahi anantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. He says that those who are in Krishna consciousness are one-pointed and fixed in their determination, whereas those who are not are multifaceted. Their intelligence, their consciousness, their determination is multi-branched. They do not have any firm, proper focus in their lives. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he comments on this verse, he explains that this really means, this vyavasayatmika buddhi, this one-pointed determination really means the one-pointed determination to follow and fulfill the instructions of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada had exactly this. He had this unflinching determination, this perseverance to somehow or other, even at the risk of his life, to fulfill this one lifetime's instruction that was given to him by his spiritual master. That was where he got this strong faith, this strong fearlessness, this spirit of adventure to venture out into uncharted, unknown territory as far as he was concerned. He had never been abroad before. Srila Prabhupada's story or this one journey especially is also a story of perseverance, of not giving up hope. Along the way, this journey of 35 days was not the most easiest of all journeys. Srila Prabhupada, in the initial days of the journey, experienced seasickness, which means headaches, dizziness, lack of appetite, vomiting. And he notes in his diary how every now and then he would get these spells of seasickness. And from a physical point of view, he was not at all keeping well. He was somehow or other just managing. And what kept him going was his meditation on the purpose of his journey. Yes, I have to fulfill the orders of my spiritual master, who wanted to deliver the people in the Western countries of the world. And this kept him going. However, as the ship moved on from Calcutta to via Sri Lanka to Cochin and then onwards to the Gulf in the Red Sea, in 2 days he had 2 heart attacks. They were violent, painful heart attacks. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, he survived. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada noted in his diary that he was thinking that he has managed to survive the seasickness and even these 2 heart attacks. But if these 2 heart attacks were to happen, or a heart attack was to happen again, then this time he would not be able to survive. That very night, he notes in his diary that Lord Krishna appeared to him in a dream. In his many forms, he was rowing a boat, and he beckoned to Srila Prabhupada and told him, "Do not fear, come on board this boat." And Srila Prabhupada thereafter became completely assured of Krishna's protection. Krishna, through this extraordinary dream, had indicated to him that he was with him, protecting him, and that he had nothing to fear whatsoever. Now emboldened by this further assurance, if at all assurance was needed for somebody like Srila Prabhupada, he was looking forward to his attempt to preach in America. And Srila Prabhupada notes that thereafter, I was beginning to eat something. I started cooking my own khichdi. I started developing some appetite. And the captain of the ship mentioned that after that, when they passed the Suez Canal and went on eventually into the Atlantic Ocean, the sea was calm. It was calmer than the captain said he had ever experienced in his whole shipping career, spanning many decades. And Srila Prabhupada notes that this was because Krishna had now taken direct control of not only the ship, but also the sea. Krishna was safeguarding Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was personally protecting Srila Prabhupada because he wanted him to reach safely beyond the ocean, the other side of the Atlantic in America, to spearhead what would be a historical movement that history would record many, many years later as a momentous journey. So somehow he managed to pass those days, and it was a life of sacrifice, because he sacrificed something that was the most precious to him in his life. What did he sacrifice from an external point of view? He gave up residence in Vrindavan. Just imagine, nowadays in ISKCON, even many young people who are barely in their 20s even, want to come and live all the time in Vrindavan, because they think this is the best place to be. It is Krishna's abode. Of course, the Shastras have urged people who have entered the Vanaprastha phase of life to come to Vrindavan and holy places like Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is a place where many people come to live and they don't like to go, despite the many physical or external inconveniences and problems that happen here. What then to speak of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who had already lived in Vrindavan for more than a decade before he left for America? He was living in Radha Damodar Mandir for most of this period, before that in the Bansi Gopal temple. And he was busy translating the Srimad Bhagavatam, taking darshan of the deities of Vrindavan. He was living here, relishing and absorbing the mood of Sri Vrindavan Dham in his chanting, in his kirtan, in his study and translation. He was completely absorbed and blissful here. He could have gone back to Godhead. He surely would have gone back to Godhead had he just continued to stay here in Vrindavan. He was already 70. Another 10, 15 years or 20 years he would have lived here and definitely gone back to Godhead. It was a fairly comfortable life as far as the life of a renunciant here in Vrindavan is concerned. There were no extraordinary austerities here. He had a room to stay, and yes, there was a little something going on with the owners. But apart from that, it was as comfortable as you could get for a renunciant in Vrindavan. But still, he left Vrindavan from a physical point of view, from an external point of view, because he had to fulfill the desires of his spiritual master. And all through the stay in Vrindavan, even though he was relishing it, but he was meditating upon his life's mission. And that is why he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was writing books to prepare for that one journey, that one eventful journey that would take him from India to America. So he sacrificed a residence in Vrindavan Dham. But of course, being a pure devotee of the Lord, he never really left Vrindavan from a spiritual point of view, because a pure devotee is always thinking of Krishna. And wherever and whenever one thinks of Krishna, that place becomes Vrindavan. So the heart of a pure devotee is Vrindavan. As a perfect follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada was following Mahaprabhu's words. Mahaprabhu, as Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Annira Hridayaman Mora Mana Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu says, others' hearts and mind may be the same, but for me, my mind is Vrindavan. My mind is non-different from Vrindavan. Because Mahaprabhu was constantly relishing remembrance of Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan. So his mind had become non-different from Vrindavan. Similarly, because Srila Prabhupada was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, therefore, his mind was also Vrindavan. So even though he physically sacrificed Vrindavan, which is a great sacrifice indeed, but he carried Vrindavan, so to speak, in his heart. And then after having reached America and then traveled further to other parts of the world thereafter, he actually established outposts of Vrindavan, so to speak, all over the world. This was his contribution. So he sacrificed Vrindavan physically from an external point of view, a very difficult thing in itself to do, but for the higher purpose of taking Vrindavan and the message of Vrindavan all over the world. How many people before in the other parts of the world had heard of Vrindavan or had heard of Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita? Very few. But by Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice, now millions and millions of people over the last few decades have come to Vrindavan and will continue to come in the years to come. Srila Prabhupada's journey to America is also a tale of extreme compassion. Because that's what preaching is all about. Preaching is not a matter of gaining fame, prestige. It is not a matter of intellectual conquest. Preaching is not a matter of feeling proud that one's religion is the best. Preaching is a matter of compassion. The driving force, the impetus, the motivation for a devotee to preach is compassion for the fallen and suffering condition of the living entities in this world. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Vasudev Datta and he was glorifying him, Vasudev Datta became extremely embarrassed. And he said, "My dear Lord, I am the most fallen person. Please do not embarrass me by glorifying me in this way." And then he said, "My dear Lord, I have a petition to offer at your lotus feet. Kindly fulfill this one desire." So Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, please tell me." He said, "When I look around at the world, I cannot tolerate the suffering of the different living entities here. Therefore, my ardent desire, which I'm sure you can fulfill, is that I want to accept the sinful reactions of every single living entity in this universe upon my head, and I'm willing to stay in hell eternally for this. If it means that everyone else has to become purified, I don't mind making the sacrifice of staying in hell eternally." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased by this attitude of Vasudev Datta. He explained to him and said, "Vasudev, you know, just imagine that there is a whole stack of seeds, of mustard seeds or sesame seeds, and if one seed falls away, what is the big loss? If there is a man who has millions of wish-fulfilling kamadhenu cows, and if he loses a little goat, what difference does it make to him? So for Krishna, even if one universe is lost in the sense that everyone becomes pure devotees here, there is no more need for this universe, what is Krishna's loss? But in any case, because you so desire, Krishna, being the Bhakta Vatsala, will definitely fulfill your desire. And not only that, you will not have to reside in hell at all. What to speak of residing there eternally, you will not even go there for a moment. Krishna will fulfill your desire simply because you have it. My dear Vasudev, you are directly Prahlad personified, because you exhibit the same compassion that Prahlad Maharaj had." So what was the compassion that Prahlad Maharaj had? Usually when we hear the narration of the pastimes of Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad, it is not so apparent that Prahlad Maharaj is very, very compassionate. What comes out is his pure devotion, his complete absorption in Krishna. What comes out is his fearlessness and his strong faith and determination. But compassion? Yes. Prahlad himself declares, "Naivo dvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha shoche tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan." In his prayers to Lord Narsingadev, Prahlad says, "My dear Lord, even though this material world is very fearful, it is full of awful miseries that plague and harass the conditioned living entities here, I am not afraid of this fearful material existence. Na udvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas." This vaitarni, this material existence, I am not at all afraid of it. Why so? Tvad virya. Because of your narrations, I am so absorbed in that. Tvadvira gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. So my consciousness is completely absorbed in the nectarian descriptions of your name, form, pastimes and so on. So I have no problem personally. I am happy here even in this miserable material world. But I have only one misery. Shoche tata, tataha vimukha chetasa. I am lamenting, I am grieving for those people whose consciousness has been turned away from you, vimukha chetasa. They have turned their face away from you. Why so? Indriyartha, for the sake of satisfying their indriyas or their senses. And what do they hope to gain from that? Maya sukhaya. They hope to gain illusory happiness. And in pursuit of this illusory happiness, bharam udvahatao. They take on the burden of unnecessary responsibilities and duties in life. Vimudhan, they are the most foolish. So my dear Lord, although I have personally no problem and I am happy here hearing and chanting about you, but this is my concern. And then Prahlad goes on to say, Prayena deva munayo svavimukti kama. Maunam charanti vijanena pararthanishtha. He says, almost always, my dear Lord, prayena, deva, oh my dear Lord, we see munayaha, those who are sages, they're mostly concerned about their own liberation. Sva vimukti kama. Kama means desiring. Sva vimukti means liberation for themselves. Prayena deva munayo sva vimukti kama maunam charanti vijane na pararthanishthaha. And because of this, sometimes they accept vows of silence, maun vrat, or charanti vijane, or they wander in different solitary places, or they remain isolated from the mass of people for their own liberation. Na pararthanishthaha. They do not have any concern for the upliftment and deliverance of others. Naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha ekaha. But my dear Lord, I do not desire liberation separate from them. I don't want to be liberated alone, leaving these people behind. Nanyam tvadasya sharanam bhramato nupashye. Because I know that only the shelter of your lotus feet is the only way to solve the problem permanently for these living entities who are constantly wandering within this universe in different species of life. So I do not want liberation myself alone. I want everybody to be liberated also and come back to your lotus feet. This is the spirit of a preacher. So compassion is what drives preaching and no other criterion. We see in Braj, there are many people who wander in the different forests of Braj. They stay alone as Babaji's in different places. Many of these are genuine and many of them are not genuine. Of those who are genuine, some, maybe even very, very advanced souls. But still, they are there for their own devotional service, for their own upliftment. They are called bhajanānandis. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is goshthānandi, to preach, to practice and preach. So in keeping with this mood of Prahlad Maharaj, in keeping with this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in keeping with the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ventured out on this lonely voyage at the ripe old age of 69 or 70, where even sadhus try to find a comfortable cocoon in some holy place, in some ashram, and live there till the end of their life. What to speak of those who are not devotees, who simply want to spend their time in front of the television till they die? So out of his extreme compassion, Srila Prabhupada left for America. And this journey is also a tale of contradictions and irony. Why? Here was an elderly man, 70 years old, coming from a faraway land, speaking with a heavy accent, wearing what seemed to people in America to be strange clothes, with an equally strange, unusual, orthodox view, speaking to people who were living, who were personifications of exactly the opposite of what he wanted to convey. After Boston, when he reached New York via Butler, Pennsylvania, and he went in the midst of the young generation of those days, the generation of the 60s, who simply wanted to rebel against the establishment. They lived a life of free sex, a life of drug abuse, a life of rebellion against the established authority. And here was Srila Prabhupada telling them, don't have drugs, don't have illicit sex, live a pure life, surrender to Lord Krishna. And he was sitting in their midst. This was a group of people whose motto was, never trust a person above 30. That was what was said, I believe, in those days among them. And here was a person who was 70 years old, whom they not only eventually got to trust, but they surrendered their lives for him. This is Srila Prabhupada's journey. When he was in the Red Sea, soon after the heart attacks, he wrote a poem, Prayers to the Lotus Feet of Lord Krishna, wherein he addressed Lord Krishna as his dear friend, and he spoke about his desire for wandering in the fields of Raja. And later, after he arrived in America, which happened on this tithi, on this day, in 1965, he went out into the Boston city, and having experienced firsthand the Western civilization, he came back to his ship, or rather to his accommodation that had been arranged, and he wrote another poem, Markine Bhagavat Dharma, a very wonderful poem expressing his heart as soon as he reached America. Actually, it's 9 o'clock, but I had wanted to sing this one bhajan. So if you will bear with me, we can all sing. I have the sheets of paper here. We will sing the very bhajan. That Srila Prabhupada composed almost immediately upon reaching the shores of America. We may not have enough copies, so please share one copy among two or three devotees. Please, can somebody else distribute also at the back so that everybody can see? Please share. Hare Krishna. So this is a Bengali bhajan in which Srila Prabhupada has also included some verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll be chanting that also as part of the prayers. In Bengali, Markin means America. So Markine means in America. So Bhagavad Dharma in America, implying preaching of Krishna consciousness in America. Because now Srila Prabhupada has finally arrived. He has arrived, so to speak. And now he's contemplating, okay, the mission has begun. Now I have to preach to these people here. So what were his realizations at that time? Those deep realizations are expressed through this most beautiful bhajan, Markine Bhagavat Dharma.
Bada kripa koile Krishna adhamera prati kila giya nile tha karo ebe gati ache kichu karjo tabo ei onumane nahe keno aniben ei ugrasthane rajastam gune era shabai achanna vasudeva katha ruchi nahe se prasanna tabe jodi tabo kripa hoy ohoy tu ki shakali shambhava hoy tumi shei kotuki kibhabe bujhale tara bujhe shei rasa eto kripa karo prabhu kori nija basa tomaro ichhaya sabo haya maya basha tomaro ichhaya nasha mayar parasha tabo ichha hoy jodi tader udhar tabo বুঝিবে নিশ্চয় তবে কথা সে তোমার, ভাগবতের কথা সে তব অবতার, ধীর হইয়া শুনে যদি কানে বার বার, শৃণ্বতাম স্বখতা কৃষ্ণ পুণ্যশ্রবণ কীর্তন, শৃণ্বতাম স্বখতা হৃদয়ন্তঃস্থ্য ভদ্রাণি বিধুনোতি সুহৃৎসতাম, নষ্ট প্রায়েষ ভদ্রেষু নিত্যম ভাগবত সেবয়া, ভগবত্যুত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির্ভবতি নৈষ্ঠিকী, তদা রজস্তমো ভাবা কামলোভাদয়শ্চ ইয়ে, চেতৈতেরনাবিদ্ধম স্থিতম সত্ত্বে প্রসীদতি, এবং প্রসন্ন মনসো ভগবদ্ভক্তিযোগতঃ ভগবত্তত্ত্ববিজ্ঞানম মুক্তসঙ্গস্য জায়তে, ভিদ্যতে হৃদয়গ্রন্থিশ্ছিদ্যন্তে সর্বসংশয়াঃ, ক্ষীয়ন্তে চাস্য কর্মাণি দৃষ্ট এবাত্মনীশ্বরে, রজস্তমহতে তবে পাইবে নিস্তার, হৃদয়ের ভদ্র সব ঘুচিবে তাহার, কি করে বুঝাবো কথা বড় সেই চাহে, ক্ষুদ্র আমি দীনহীন কোনো শক্তি নাহি, অথচ এনেছো প্রভু কথা বলিবারে, যে তোমার ইচ্ছা প্রভু করো এইবারে, অখিল জগত গুরু বচন শ্রিয়ামার, অলঙ্কৃত করিবার ক্ষমতা তোমার, তব কৃপা হলে মোর কথা শুদ্ধ হবে, শুনিয়া সবার শোক দুঃখ যে ঘুচিবে, আনিয়াছ যদি প্রভু আমার নাচাতে, নাচাও নাচাও প্রভু নাচাও সে মতে, কাষ্ঠের পুতলি যথা নাচাও সে মতে, ভক্তি নাই বেদ নাই নামে খুব দর, ভক্তি বেদান্ত নাম এ বেসার্থক কর, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে,
My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know
why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Texts 17 to 21, Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. And loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion and ignorance and lust and desire disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Thus established in the mode of goodness, the man rejuvenated by loving service to the Lord gains liberation from material association and comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions, karma, is terminated when one sees the self as master. Unquote. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion. Thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? Excuse me. I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure
that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Spire, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. So Srila Prabhupada made a plea to Krishna that please make my words suitable for the understanding of the people here. And did Krishna listen? What a way Krishna listened and empowered Srila Prabhupada to perform the miracle of the 20th and 21st centuries. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sorry for the delay.